Hare Krishna.
Srila Rupa Goswami put great emphasis on these qualities of devotion and how we must be very straightforward without duplicity in all aspects of our devotional life. I was just reading today a purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, where he is explaining that Krishna is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He is the witness of our every word, act, and thought. He sees the motivation in which we perform our duties in this world. And according to how he perceives our motives, that is how he will reciprocate and give us real bhakti. Prabhupada, in this light, explains that we must be sincere. Sincere means without ulterior motives. That when we perform devotional service, we are honestly doing it from within, for the purification of our heart, for the pleasure of Guru, the Vaishnavas, and Krishna. If Krishna sees this sincerity very quickly, he reciprocates and gives us by his mercy the real qualities of a Vaishnava. However, if he sees that we are making a false show, performing devotional activities with envy, pride, prestige as our motive, or to gain some wealth or facility for our activities, then Krishna will not be pleased, and we will never actually attain real devotion. We can practice the principles of devotional service externally, birth after birth after birth. But if our motive is not sincere, we will not get the realization of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, by hearing in the association of sincere devotees, we should pray for real sincerity. We should long for real sincerity. We should understand what is really of value and what is useless. Dharamasya hipavaragasya nautatayopakalpate. We shouldn't perform devotional service with the thought that the fruits of my service I will use for my own personal selfishness. Even if we have selfishness, which we do if we're conditioned souls, we should be praying to be freed of that. We should be crying for real humility, real selflessness. And we should know that that is the only state of consciousness that will bring us satisfaction. Savai punso haro dharmo itho bhaktir adhokshaje ahoitaki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings about loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to satisfy the self. Everyone is looking for satisfaction. That's what motivates people. But under the illusion of Maya, we're thinking that satisfaction will be some sort of position, some sort of recognition. People see me as very important, very learned, very advanced. Oftentimes, even our so-called devotional activities are motivated by envy. We want to outdo someone. We want to conquer someone. By singing a kirtan, we want to prove ourselves better than someone else. Cheto darapana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapana. The congregational chanting of the holy name cleans the heart of all these things. but it may take many, many, many births. If the reason we're chanting is due to envy or some material competitiveness, those qualities are in our heart. We cannot deny them. Our motive should be to get rid of them. They're enemies. They're demons. We should be chanting the holy name very loudly, very sincerely, to get rid of these enemies of lust, envy, pride, greed, illusion, anger. If that is our motive, Krishna will personally clear our hearts when we chant his holy name. In third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the discussion between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura, there's a beautiful verse in purport describing the glories of hearing the pastimes of the Lord as well as his devotees. Harikatha means to hear about Krishna, his various incarnations, and those pure, unmotivated servants who have dedicated their lives to him. In fact, Krishna is so very, very pleased when we take pleasure in hearing the glories of his devotees. Because his devotees are more dear to him than his own very life. Yesterday was a very important day, the disappearance day of Shripad Ramanuja Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took two very important principles from his sampradaya and taught them to the world through his life and teachings. Devotional service, uncontaminated by karma or jnana, and service to the Vaishnavas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant is the motivation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught should be the heart and soul of every Gaudiya Vaishnava. Ramanujacharya had one particular servant who I'd like to briefly discuss because he really embodies this principle of honesty, straightforwardness, and no motivation but the pleasure of Guru and Gauranga. His life was simply for the pleasure and service of Guru and Gauranga. The name of this devotee was Kuresh. Kuresh was born in a fabulously wealthy family. He inherited a big estate, beautiful house, extravagant wealth, fine clothes, ornaments, good food. He married Andal, who was a chaste and faithful wife. When Kuresh was young, he was a classmate of Sri Ramanujacharya. And later on, when Ramanujacharya accepted position of spiritual master, Kuresh humbly surrendered at his lotus feet. He became one of the very first disciples of this great Acharya. He was so selfless that from sunrise until midnight, every day in his large estate, his gates were open. Any poor man, sick man, woman, lame, blind man or woman, any person who was suffering could just come right to his door and he would personally give them food, clothing, prasad. He would teach them about Krishna. In this way, his whole life was just service. Years went by like this. He lived in Kanchipuram, where there is a deity called Varadraj in the Vishnu Kanchi section. And there was a very, very great devotee, one of the Shiksha Gurus of Ramanujacharya. His name was Kanchipurna. And he was very simple. He was not coming from a high-class Brahmin family. He was not well-educated. But he just prayed to the Lord with such sincerity and would sing simple songs to the Lord. The Lord was so pleased that the deity would talk to this devotee. They would carry on conversations. So one day, as Kanchipurna was offering beautiful prayers to the deity, the gate of Kuresha's house was closed. It was after midnight. So the deity of Lakshmi Devi on the altar inquired from Kanchipurna, "What was that noise?" He said, "That was the gate of Kuresh. He just gives all his wealth, charity, to everyone in need." She said, "Oh, tell him I want to see him." So the next day he went to Kuresh and said, "Lakshmi Devi, she wants to meet you in the temple." He was thinking, if it was an ordinary person, we would think, "Oh, just see the fruit of my devotion, Lakshmi wants to see me." He felt completely mortified that Lakshmi is the supreme goddess of fortune. She's the consort of the supreme personality of Godhead. She's the giver of bhakti. She wants to see me? What an embarrassing situation. I'm living in this big house. I'm wearing all this nice clothes. I think I'm so nice because I'm helping all these people with so much charity. This is all maya. It's all a contamination. I have to go before Lakshmi. She's asking me to do so. But before I'm qualified to do that, I have to purify myself by surrendering utterly to my Guru Maharaj. Then I can go before the deity. So he told his wife that today I'm leaving this house forever. I'm giving up all this wealth. I'm going to put on the simple clothes of a beggar, giving up all clothes and ornaments, and I'm going to take shelter of Gurudev. His wife said, "I'm going with you." So they left, taking nothing, except she had one golden pot that she kept, because she was thinking that when my husband gets thirsty for water, I should serve him water in this golden pot. They entered at night into a dark, deep jungle. Being in dark, deep jungle at night could be very fearful if you think you're your body. So he asked his wife, "Are you afraid?" Said, "The only people who are afraid are people who are attached to wealth. Because if you have something that someone wants to steal, then you're always subjected to violence. But if you have nothing, nobody cares about you." Just like Her Grace Mother Jamuna was telling us that one early, early morning she was going to visit Prabhupada at Radha Damodar Temple. And when she arrived, he said, "Did you come alone?" She said, "Yes." He said, "This is very dangerous. If they see even one little brass water pot, they will cut your throat and kill you for that. That is the way Vrindavan is today. But if you don't have anything, nobody cares about you." That's peace. Simple living, high thinking. So when she heard this, she took the golden pot and threw it as far as she could, never to be seen again. When they arrived before Ramanujacharya, they surrendered to him at Sri Rangam, and they remained with him. Soon She had two children. Ramanujacharya personally named them. One was named Parasara. Before Ramanujacharya's guru, Jamunacharya, left, he had three wishes. That Ramanujacharya write a commentary of Vedanta Sutra, defeating Shankaracharyas. Two, that he spread the cult of pure bhakti all over India. And three, that he name one of his followers after the great speaker of the Vishnu Purana, Parasara Muni. So Quraysh, his wife and children, were such dear, intimate associates of Sri Ramanujacharya. There was a man named Chaturgram, who happened to be a student of Quraysh. Quraysh was very, very learned. He heard something once from his Guru Maharaj, he never forgot it. Very, very deeply learned in the scriptures, and very humble and devoted to the Vaishnavas. So this Chaturgram was one of his students. But as things happen in this age of Kali, the student fell into Maya, and he became very envious. And he left Ramanujacharya in Quraysh as an enemy. He became the minister of the Chola king, whose name was Kolatunga. This king was a very, very fanatical person. He hated the Vaishnavas, because he worshipped Lord Shiva. And the nature of the false ego is, I'm the best, therefore my family must be the best, my caste must be the best, my home must be the best, my religion must be the best, everything about me must be the best. I and mine. That's the cause of great wars all over the world today. Nationalism, fanatical religious affiliations. Everyone thinks we are best. So, being a devotee of Lord Shiva, not really a devotee of Shiva, devoted to his own ego, with Shiva as the deity. So, he was thinking that my whole kingdom must become worshippers of Shiva. Vaishnavas should either convert or die. No in between. So this Chaturgram became his minister. He told him, if you really want everyone to become followers of you and Shiva, then you must convert Ramanujacharya. Because he's the most fallen of all the Vaishnavas. Because he's converting everyone to Vaishnavism. If you change him or you kill him, everyone will follow you. Ah, very good idea. So he sent some of his soldier guards to Sri Rangam with an invitation that Ramanujacharya and his Diksha Guru, who gave him the mantra, Mahapurna, that they should both come to Kanchipuram to visit the king. So Ramanujacharya was so innocent. He just thought, oh, very nice, the king is asking for me. So he went back to the ashram to arrange things. Quraysh said to his Guru Maharaj that this is a wicked, evil, envious king. He hates Vaishnavas. His plan is to kill you. Because of your presence on the earth, pure devotional service will be spread far and wide. Without you, we have no hope. I am just a useless, fallen, insignificant creature. Whether I live or die has no consequence to anyone. Therefore, give me your clothes of a sannyasi. I will give you my white clothes of a grihastha. You escape into the forests on the western side of town, and I will go to meet the king. Ramanujacharya was hesitant. But seeing this was really the devotion and the determination of his disciple, he accepted. Koresh took the danda and the saffron cloth of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya took the simple white cloth of a grihastha and secretly went into the forest. And all of his other devotees had to secretly go out and meet him in the forest too, because the soldiers of this king were all around. Mahapurna, Ramanuja's guru, he said, I'm an old man. I cannot go into the forest and try to escape. I will go to meet the king. So they were brought before the king, Kolotunga. Koresh said, I am Ramanuja. And this is my Guru Maharaj, Mahapurna. The king offered them a nice sitting place, said, I want to talk to you. I want to have discussions about the goal of life. What is the prime duty of every human being? Please tell me. Koresh was bold. He said, Lord Vishnu is the supreme lord of all lords. He is the absolute truth. And the only true goal of life for any human being is to worship Lord Vishnu with pure love and devotion. The king became enraged with anger. What are you saying? What nonsense? Lord Shiva is the destroyer of the entire universe. If you don't surrender to him, you will be destroyed. Then he brought the top pundits of the whole kingdom to have a debate. And Koresh and Mahapurna completely devastated every one of their arguments to establish that pure love and devotion to Vishnu is the ultimate goal of life. And the great Lord Shiva, his ultimate goal is to see the whole world chanting the holy name. Finally, when all philosophy, logic, and debate had failed, the king used his last resort. He said, either you give up your Vaishnavism and your bhakti, and you accept the path of impersonalism and worship Shiva, or you will die today. Accept Shiva is the greatest. There's a type of measurement. One measurement is a drona and one is a Shiva. Drona weighs more than Shiva. So using this funny analogy, Koresh replied, he said, even drona is greater than Shiva. Hare Krishna. The king said, he should be killed. But because when my sister was a small child, he helped her by rescuing her from a ghost. Therefore, I will not kill this Ramanuja, but you should torture him and pluck out his eyes. Many, many years before, when Ramanuja was just a small student, he was in the ashram of Yadava Prakash, who was a very stalwart Mayavadi. And he was envious of his own little student, because his student was a Vaishnava. So Yadavacharya was one of these Vedic Brahmins by seminal caste. And he had great powers too, very learned. So at that time, the king of Chola, his daughter, who was the princess, was haunted by a terrible Brahma Rakshasa ghost. He would scream and haunt people through her. She was suffering terribly. So they called Yadava Prakash. We know that you know how to do these yajnas. do the yajna to free our daughter from this ghost. Yes, yes, I know the art. We came, began chanting mantras. As he was chanting the mantra, in a shrilled voice, the ghost within the body of this beautiful young princess began to scream, Yadava Prakash, these mantras are all useless. You have no potency at all. Just get out of here. So then he started chanting more powerful mantras and doing more yajnas. And then the ghost in the body of this little princess started saying, just get out. I'm more powerful than you. I'm more powerful than all of your mantras. There's only one way that I'll leave this princess. Your student, Ramanuja. If he comes, he has the power of Vishnu's devotion. I will not be able to remain here. So there was great social pressure. Against his own will, Yadava Prakash had to bring Ramanuja. Ramanuja, very humbly, with folded palms, he said, dear ghost, please leave this little girl. None of these fancy mantras and yajnas. He just said, please leave. So the ghost spoke. He said, you are such a great person. If you put both of your feet on my head, then I will leave this little girl and never come back. Ramanuja said, well, how will we know that you've actually left? He said, the top branch of this nearby banyan tree, I will break it as I'm leaving her body. So then the girl, being controlled by the ghost, bowed down at the feet of Ramanujacharya. He placed both of his lotus feet on her head, and within seconds, the top branch of the banyan tree cracked and fell to the ground. And the girl looked around like she just woke up after months and months of a daze. Where am I? What's happening? Some of her girlfriends told her, and she became very embarrassed and went home. So this was the sister of this demoniac king. Don't kill him. He saved my sister. But blind his eyes. These executioners dragged Kuresh, who they thought was Ramanuja, along with Mahapurna, and they tortured them in various ways. And at the end of the process of torturing, they blinded their eyes. While he was being tortured, Kuresh was smiling. In his heart of hearts, he was just thanking Lord Narayan that you're so merciful, you're so kind, I have no qualifications, but you have sent these very, very powerful, envious people just to make me completely humble. And in this humility, cause me to surrender utterly to the lotus feet of my Guru Maharaj. Such mercy you are giving me. And not only that, dear Lord Narayan, you're giving me a chance to accept torture and even maybe death for the service of my Guru. There's nothing more glorious than this. After all the hours of torture, blasphemy, and blinding eyes were finished, Kuresh, with great love in his heart, he couldn't see. He folded his palms and offered his obeisances to the executioners and spoke these words, may Lord Narayan bless all of you. Because you are so kind and merciful to me, you have allowed me to perform this service to my Guru Maharaj. Thank you. Their hearts melted. They were supposed to leave them into the forest to die, but they happened to see some beggars walking, and the executioners, they gave some money to the beggars and said, please take these two devotees back to Srirangam. So on the way, Mahapurna, blinded, tortured, he was very old. He just laid on the lap of Quraysh and said, I cannot continue. This body is old, and today I must leave this world. Remembering the lotus feet of my Guru Maharaj, Sri Jamunacharya, I will gratefully leave this world today. And then he gave up his body. Something nice that I'd like to say about this Mahapurna is he's the one who actually brought Ramanujacharya to Jamunacharya. And later on, Jamunacharya had such love and devotion for him. He would learn the Shastras from him. For 6 months, Mahapurna stayed with Ramanujacharya. He taught him 4,000 slokas and their purports. In fact, Ramanujacharya begged him to give him initiation into the mantra, which he did. One day, after Ramanujacharya took sannyas, Mahapurna came and humbly offered his obeisances to his disciple. And Ramanujacharya just sat there. The students and disciples of Ramanujacharya, they were very confused by this. They said, we don't understand. Why did your Guru Maharaj offer obeisances and why did you accept his obeisances just sitting? He said, I cannot interfere with the will of a great soul. It was his desire to show by his example and his heart his love for his Guru Maharaj. What could I do? This bewildered them all the more, because he was his disciple. So they went to Mahapurna and asked him, can you explain why you're offering obeisances to your disciple like this? He said, because Ramanujacharya is such a glorious personality. Whenever I see him, I see the presence of my Guru Maharaj, Jamunacharya, manifesting through his every word, his every action. By offering obeisances to him, I am offering obeisances to my Guru Maharaj. Then the disciples understood that Ramanujacharya so perfectly understood the heart of his Guru Maharaj and did not interfere with his sentiment. So Mahapurna, he left this world. Quraysh was brought back to Srirangam. There he lived, blind, body battered brutally by the tortures, for some months with his wife and children. Every day he would go to the temple of Srirangam, Ranganath, and he would blissfully chant, sing beautiful prayers, and with folded hands thank the Lord for giving him this highest service of accepting torture in order to protect his spiritual master. Then one day he decided to go to see Ramanujacharya, to seek shelter at his lotus feet. Ramanujacharya embraced his disciple and said, I am embracing you for my own purification. After some days of having Hari Katha together, Ramanuja said, you should go to the nearby temple in Kanchipuram. And when you go before Varadraj, you should pray to him to give you your vision back. That is my request. So he went back to Kanchipuram and blissfully he started singing before the deity of Vishnu. And after some hours, the deity asked him, you have come with a desire? Whatever you desire, I will fulfill. He said, if you will fulfill any desire I have, then please give me this benediction. That student who rejected me who was envious and blasphemous of me, and who actually plotted for the death of my Guru Maharaj and myself too, Chaturgram, please deliver him. Give him your mercy. Bharadraj said, he is delivered. But there must be something else you want. Ask for another benediction. Kolatunga, that king that tortured me and plucked out my eyes, please give him bhakti. Liberate him from his sins and give him your mercy of the shelter of your lotus feet. That is my desire. The deity said, it is done. When he heard that, he began to dance and sing blissfully, offering prayers. And he left the temple. He wanted nothing for himself. He only wanted to see his sinful enemies being given promotion to Vaikuntha. One of the qualities of a devotee is no envy. In fact, Krishna told Arjuna, you can understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is because you are not envious. Srila Prabhupada wrote his commentary of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is, as Krishna spoke it, as it has been handed down through parampara, through ages, by our great acharyas. But even that, we find there's so many interpretations of Prabhupada's teachings. Although it's the clearest, simplest as it is. Because actually, you cannot understand anything properly as long as you're envious. Because the world is a mirror of our own consciousness. As Vibhinda Swarup Prabhu explained a few days ago in his Srimad Bhagavatam class, that you can take so many different texts in various different contexts and give so many different interpretations of it, even if it is coming as it is. If we want to know the truth, we must become honest, humble, and pray to the Lord intensely to purify us of our envy. Envy and false pride are very intimately connected. Where there is humility, there can be no envy. So he went back home. Some days later, Ramanujacharya got the message of what benedictions Quraysh asked for. So he sent a messenger with a letter. My dear Quraysh, I'm very, very proud of you that you're so non-envious and you're so compassionate that you prayed for nothing except the deliverance of your enemies. Those who tortured you. However, as your Gurudev, I must tell you, you are a very selfish person. Because you're only thinking about yourself. What about me? Your body is my property. And because it's not functioning properly, because you have no eyes, you are depriving me of what is mine. When Quraysh heard this, he became ecstatic. He was thinking, my Guru Maharaj has accepted my body is his property. Therefore, he has accepted me as a completely surrendered soul. That is the perfection of my life. Hari Om! He went to the deity of Vishnu and prayed. First he sang. He sang beautiful songs and offered beautiful bhajans and prayers. Then Lord Vishnu said to him, you have come with a desire? Please ask. I will give you whatever benediction you so ask. with great humility, palms folded, he prayed that, "My dear Lord, some time back I lost two valuable possessions that belonged to my beloved Guru Maharaj. Please replace them." And then Lord replied, "Because you are a surrendered devotee and you have offered everything to your spiritual master, I will supply everything you so desire to serve him." Upon hearing that, Quraysh fell to the ground unconscious due to love. And when he woke up, he had two perfect eyes that could see everything around him. The first thing his eyes did was cry. Cry in gratitude for the mercy of the Lord. He said, "My dear Lord, with a choked up voice I pray to you that you are so merciful. At the time of my birth, you gave me the power to see. And it was by your divine will that you took away my power to see. And now, by your divine arrangement, you have given it back. This is all your inconceivable mercy. Some people say that this world is a miserable, terrible place. But for me, with these eyes you have given me, I see you and your mercy everywhere. Therefore, for me, this world is Vaikuntha." The glories of Ramanujacharya and his beloved disciple Quraysh spread throughout the land. And even to this day, approximately 1,000 years later, we are still being inspired by the great, great selflessness of this true Vaishnava. Service to Guru, service to Vaishnavas, in a selfless state of mind, with no ulterior motives, but just to please, is the perfection of life. Traidas Prabhu was explaining how when Krishna had headache, he begged for the dust of the feet of his devotees to cure his headache. The sages, the rishis, when they were asked for dust from their feet, "How is this possible? Impossible! If I put my feet on Krishna's head, the Supreme Personality of God, I will go to hell." But when the Braja Gopis were asked for that dust, immediately they started scraping dust from their feet, putting it in nice little containers, saying, "Rush, rush, bring it to Krishna." Don't you know the consequence of putting the dust of your feet on the Supreme Personality of Godhead's head? "Yes, we know the consequence. We will go to hell." If we could give Krishna relief from his headache for even 1 second, we are willing to be tortured in hell for the rest of eternity gladly. That is Vaishnava. To have that faith that if I please Krishna, if I please Guru and the Vaishnavas, that is the perfection of my life. Birth and death, they will come of its own accord. But if somehow or other in this life we can just chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, without material, selfish, offensive motives, Krishna will be revealed within our heart. Aho bhata svapachato gariyam. Even if a person is born in a family of chandalas, dog eaters, outcasts, untouchables. If he offenselessly chants the holy name of the Lord, he is the best of the Brahmins. It is to be understood that he has performed all the purificatory activities. He has fulfilled all the regulative principles of all the scriptures. He's gone to all the holy places and bathed in all the holy rivers and lakes in all of creation. He's fit to perform all the Vedic sacrifices. This is the result of once offenselessly chanting the holy name. Therefore, we must live our life in such a way, moment by moment, with integrity, with simplicity, honesty. Being straightforward in our dealings with others and making our supreme aspiration of life trinadapi sunichena tadavapi sahishnana amanina manadena kyetaniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to offer all respects to others and expect none in return. In this spirit of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, we desire for the rest of eternity to please the Lord, to please the devotees, by chanting his holy name.